I got into the car with a drunk driver. I don't really remember much, but I do remember waking up with the car on its side and just hurting. I ended up talking to my mom and she told me to call the advocates. Even though it was complicated and I felt guilty, there was zero judgment from them. I felt like they were always on my side and they were always doing what was best for me.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. If guilt is keeping you from getting help, just call us. We'll represent you and remind you that you deserve justice.
I got into the car with a drunk driver. I don't really remember much, but I do remember waking up with the car on its side and just hurting. I mean, I'd hurt my neck, I'd hurt my back. The worst part was my leg was shattered. I really didn't know what to feel. I knew that I'd gotten in the car with the drunk driver. That felt like that was my mistake, but I wasn't the one driving and I wasn't the one that caused the accident, so I really wasn't sure how to feel. I talked to my mom and she ended up recommending just calling the advocates. Even though it was complicated and I felt like maybe I'd made a mistake or I felt guilty, there was zero judgment from them. I felt like they were always on my side and they were always doing what was best for me. Really, it gave me my life back. I was able to stop replaying all the decisions I made and I was able to just move forward and really start rebuilding my life because the advocates really took care of everything.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. If guilt is keeping you from getting help, just call us. We'll represent you and remind you that you deserve justice.
Woo, what is going up, going on, my beloved, beloved, beloved Mafia? I hope you guys are having an amazing Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. Today is November the 11th, and you know what that means. It's Veterans Day. And I got to be honest, this day is obviously very special to me, not because of my status, what I've done, the uniform that I wear. And I just need to preemptive everything that I'm going to talk about today has nothing to do with me. I was a decent soldier, medic, did nothing special, couple deployments, nothing crazy, nothing nuts. But to everybody out there, whether you're a veteran right now, whether you were a veteran, which you still are, but if you wore a uniform, if you're currently wearing a uniform, we, the American people, we owe you a debt that we could never pay. We can't. We can't pay it. And if you saw the title of this episode today, my question, and it's a question that we all have to ask ourselves: have you earned it? Have you earned it? You know, I'm always reminded by the very last scene of one of the last scenes on Saving Private Ryan, when Tom Hanks is sitting there and, you know, he's dying. And Matt Damon leans into him and he just looks at him and he says, "Earn this. Earn it." And then you flash back and he's at Arlington and, you know, he gives this long speech. And that's my question to all of us, including myself. Yeah, spoiler alert. If you've never seen Saving Private Ryan, most of you probably, you should have. And if you haven't, you have homework. Watch it today. Have you earned it? You have men and women out there that have raised their right hand, swore an oath to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that they brought home some baggage that the human eye can't see, whether it's physical scars, like real ones, real physical scars, operations, or the scars that you can't see. The mental issues, the emotional, the anxiety, the PTSD that these guys and girls deal with every single day. And what aggravates me about Veterans Day is it's that one day where we all have to look in the mirror, where I think that we should look in it every day. Like, what have you done today? What have you done today to earn the right for you to look at yourself and say, "I am an American"? It's a tough question to ask. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not. It's a very, very, very difficult question to ask. But let me just give you some really quick, just a really quick rundown. It was Jesus that said that greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. And let me just remind you that there is a piece of land out there in Arlington. It's 639 acres. 639 acres. It has 430,000 tombstones. 430,000 Americans that paid the ultimate sacrifice for this country. I've been to this place, and it is beyond a shadow of a doubt the most breathtaking reality check I've ever witnessed in my life, ever. 639 acres, 430,000 graves, over 651,000 Americans have given their lives to this country since the Revolutionary War. And my question, as I asked earlier, my question is, have you earned it? Have you earned, do you deserve their sacrifice? Now, I understand there's a difference because I am a Nazi when it comes to Memorial Day versus Veterans Day. 100%. I'm a Nazi because I will always check people. Hey, don't thank me. It's Memorial Day. I'm still alive. Veterans Day, fine, whatever. But we have men and women walking around in this country right now that they're no longer wearing the uniform. And as I was talking to the guys before the show started, it's been 2018. September 11th of 2018 is when I retired from the Army. And I'm still surprised that I don't have to wake up and put a uniform on every morning. I'm still surprised. And it's the Marines are right. You know, once a Marine, always a Marine. And I really feel like once you put that uniform on, I don't really think you ever really take it off. Because that uniform and that sacrifice causes so many scars. So many scars. Some you can see. I've got plenty of them. Some you can't see. I got plenty of those too. As I'm sure some of you guys in the chat, some of you guys that can hear my voice and that are going to watch this later, or maybe you're watching this now, you have scars that I can't see. And from the bottom of my heart, I need you to understand me when I say this. I wake up every single morning and I give it, I give every effort I can to earn your sacrifice, to earn the sacrifice that you gave me, an American. I wake up every single day trying to earn that. And so from the hot seat, from me, from Kendra, my family, from the bottom of my heart on this Veterans Day, to all the veterans out there, past and present, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful country that we have. Thank you for the freedoms that we have. Thank you. It's because of you and your sacrifice that I'm allowed to get up on Sunday morning and go to the church of my choice and worship the God that I choose, that I can go and I can have a show like this where I'm talking against the government or I'm talking against politicians or I'm talking against celebrities or whatever. It's because of you that I can even do this. It's because of you. It's not because of some bill that was signed or some stupid document that was written. I mean, that was great. That was great. But you made that document possible. You made that Declaration of Independence possible. You made that Constitution possible. You made it possible because without you, it's just a piece of paper with cool words on it in fancy handwriting. That's all it is. It's just a document. It took sacrifice, your sacrifice. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you to all the veterans. We love you. We honor you. And I hope you have a great day. I hope that you're hugged, that your hands sore from shaking so many hands. I hope you didn't have to buy a meal today. I hope and pray that some random American thanked you for what you've done. I hope your family has thanked you for what you've done. I hope your spouse, your children, I hope they know. And to the spouses out there, because your sacrifices are great as well. I can't even fathom the mentality of you spouses and children and parents that have to witness your loved one leave, not knowing if they're going to come back or not. I can't fathom that. For me, it was easy because I was the one going. I was fine. I had a job to do. I had a mission. It wasn't hard for me. I can only imagine what it did to my parents, what it did to my grandparents, what it did to my children. So to the families out there, thank you. Your sacrifice will never be forgotten, ever. Not as long as I'm breathing. I will thank God for you, your veteran, your family, and every day until the day that I die. I get this question a lot, and I know I'm getting on a soapbox here, and I don't apologize. During the national anthem, I get asked this question all the time. The last like 5 seconds, 5 or 6 seconds of the national anthem, I always bow my head. I've always done it. Ever since I was 17 years old, I've always done it. I bow my head thanking God for this country. Thanking God for the men and women that serve it. Praying for their families. Praying for the ones that don't get to spend Thanksgiving with their families this month, that didn't get to go trick-or-treating with their kids on Halloween because they had duty or they had something, or maybe they were deployed, that Christmas is missed. I did all that. I missed birthdays, Christmases, Thanksgivings, Father's Days, anniversaries. Missed it all. Missed all of it. I thank God for you. You are the true, blessed are the peacemakers. You are the true peacemakers. You are the true sheepdogs. You are the ones that stand on a wall and tell.
My family and I were on an outing. We stopped at a stoplight on a highway, and all of a sudden I see in my rearview mirror that there is a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. It ended up being a 4-car pileup. Luckily, we had a luggage rack on the back that took most of the blow, but we still sustained some injuries that needed significant medical care. I felt confident, feeling I can handle all the calls. I know the story. I know how to talk to the insurance agents and file the reports, and I know how to negotiate. I totally thought that I had this. It added up to be too much, and I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. I finally called the advocates, and they took it from there. They know the drill. They know how to do this. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. When your family's hurting, you shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you. Give us a call.
Tell the American people, nobody's going to hurt you today. Not on my watch. And this nation can never repay you for that. There's no benefit. There's no subsidy. There's none of that. That is big enough for your commitment and your sacrifice for your country. So from the bottom of my heart, again, and I'm going to say this a lot today, and if it gets annoying, deal with it. I love you, and I thank you all. All of you. And I do have a surprise for you later on in the show, about the 30-minute mark, about 3:30. I'm going to bring a couple guys on, and we're just going to have a military round table. I mean, it's Veterans Day. These are two guys that have become friends of mine. They're both veterans. One of them's currently in. One of them's not like me, is not in anymore. And we're just going to have a military round table. Like, I know a lot of y'all in the chat, when I talk about military things and when I use military, you know, verbiage and stuff, you just right over your head. And so I'm going to let you peek behind the curtain on what a conversation looks like when veterans actually get together and start telling stories and stuff like that, because it's a sight to be seen. I promise you. And so the last 30 minutes of the show, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. We're going to have a good time. But before we do that, we're going to have a little bit of fun, okay? Because, I mean, that's what I do. I'm Foo Foo the Circus Clown. And this is straight out of Mississippi. I don't know if you've seen this, but apparently Dave Portnoy, who I don't really know if I like this guy or not, but he didn't deserve this. And so Brandon Tatum talked about this, and, you know, Portnoy posts this, and he was in Starkville, Mississippi, doing his little pizza, you know, pizza taste testing and stuff like that, and got heckled by a kid in Starkville. And before I show the clip, let me just say that, Brandon, if you're listening, or David, I doubt you see this, this little peckerwood does not represent Mississippians in any way, shape, form, or fashion. As a matter of fact, I'm really surprised nobody kicked the shit out of this kid when he said this. Like, you really thankful I'm 30 minutes away from Starkville. You be thankful that I wasn't nowhere near, because you'd have been missing some toofuses. Thank you, Jersey. 20 subscriptions. Dang, bro. Thank you. And happy vet. Thank you. Thank you for the Veterans Day as well, Jersey. Thank you very much. Love you for that, brother. Love you for that. But let's look at this. All right. Portnoy in Starkville, Mississippi, at a pizzeria called Board Town, which is terrible, by the way. Just terrible.
But so far, I like it. Why ain't coming to camera, buddy? Why ain't come here? Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come on. Come on.
I should be allowed to make those jokes, right? I should be putting handcuffs on. You said no handcuffs. No, you said that's what you said during employee. You said you shouldn't be making jokes about. I never said handcuffs. Yeah, you did. You said you should be a crime. In what world? Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Hey, let's settle down. I'll only take that down from what, 7-2? No, we'll keep it 7-2. 7-2. By the way, you're by yourself. He said, fuck the Jews and threw shit at me. No, that's all right. That's all right. There's assholes everywhere you go.
And that is true. And so on behalf of the state of Mississippi, where I was born and raised, to David Portnoy and Barstool Sports, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I wasn't there, bro. I'm really sorry I wasn't there, because I'm going to be real with you. I probably would have kicked his ass. Like, I'm not kidding you. I'm so over this whole anti-Semitic BS. There is no freaking reason. I don't care if you agree or disagree with the nation of Israel. There's no reason, no reason to hate the entire Jewish population for that. It's just pointless. And you're seeing this more and more and more from our side. And it's embarrassing. And I'm just telling you, you're going to be gumming your food for the rest of your life if you do it around me. Like, I'm going to be real with you. Look, I'm not like crazy pro-Israel. Y'all know how I feel about it. I do support Israel, the people. You know that I do. I love them. But this is ridiculous. Like, this really is ridiculous. I agree. Teresa, it's got to stop. It's horrible. All right, it's horrible. But you really do see this out of like little white kids, college age kids, high school age kids that are conservative. And I'm sick of it. Like my youngest boy, he didn't say it, but he started asking me questions that let me know he was kind of turning. And I was like, whoa. And we had a long conversation. I ain't having it. Like, I love my boy to death, but I will knock your teeth out. And you know it. Child. B Sparks, 5 subscriptions. Thank you so much for that. I gotta get in this comment section, y'all. I am slacking. Wolfpack Todd, only people that listen to this type of show and believe like us have earned it. Dems, radical leftists, they all talk shit on vets and soldiers. Some even wish death upon us. I agree. I don't think there's anybody in this chat. I'll be real with you. I don't think there's anybody in this chat that doesn't earn it on a daily basis. I really do. I mean, with the exception of maybe, possibly, there's a couple of trolls in here. But I will tell all of you guys from the bottom of my heart, if you're listening to me and you are constantly listening to me, you're following this show, yeah, I will go on a limb here and say, yeah, you've earned it. You absolutely have earned it. Jersey, happy Veterans Day. Thank you, brother. B Sparks, I'm a $5 baller. I love that. That's awesome. Thank you guys so much. Listen, before we continue, don't forget like button, repost button, all of those good things. You can subscribe if you want to. That's fine. You know, Rumble Rants or whatever it is, doesn't matter. I'll stop the show, read your statement, answer a question or whatever. So not required, but it is appreciated. But let's continue. So, David, I'm sorry, bro. Mark Driscoll. I'm a big fan. I am a big fan of Mark Driscoll. Mark Driscoll put out a video talking about Candace Owens that honestly, after Mark says this, I don't have to say anything else. Like anything else. This is by far the perfect explanation about what's going on with Candace Owens right now. I haven't heard anybody say anything better than this. So, Pastor Driscoll, by all means, sir, you have the floor.
She's lost touch with reality. You know, honestly, from a pastoral perspective, I feel sorry for her. I pray for her. If she has a husband who is present or she's got a pastor who cares, she needs to get an evaluation. And honestly, she needs to take a break because she's become obsessed with Charlie Kirk in a way that is really unhealthy for a married woman. And also, she's tried to make herself the de facto defender and spokesperson for the legacy of Charlie Kirk. And that is the sole discretion of his wife, Erica, who did an incredible job on her interview this week. And she's a really remarkable, incredible, grieving widow. This is the problem with the internet, is the crazier you are, the more attention you get, but the less helpful you are.
I mean, have you heard a more perfect explanation of what's going on with her right now? And I'm trying my best not to say the C word because I know it drives y'all crazy. I haven't heard a better explanation than this. And I mean, that, especially that last statement, the crazier you are, the more attention you're going to get, but the less helpful you're going to be as well. Perfect. Thank you, Pastor Mark. That was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Thank you for that. All right, we got about 10 minutes before we bring the boys on. A couple more things. Y'all, Kamala is still talking. Like, she is still talking. And this right here, y'all, all I can say is it's 58 seconds of "you are welcome." You're welcome for this.
I was aware of my opponent's strategy, and I wasn't about to fall prey or fall into those traps. And part of his strategy and those around him was to try and take me off our game and message. And I wasn't about to be distracted by those flames that he was trying to throw to get me away from my highest priority, which is talking to people about the economy and their well-being in terms of their financial well-being. I understood the game that was being played, and I made a decision that I wasn't going to get played. And
chestnut checkers. Got it.
Chestnut checkers.
Yeah. You was playing chess, not checkers. Again, she's talking about the campaign in the election, that she was not going to get duped, that she was not going to fall in, that she was playing chess, not checkers, with Donald Trump. You lost. You lost. Like, you lost the election. You weren't playing chess or checkers. Damn it, you were playing chutes and ladders in Candyland while the president was playing 3D chess. Again, I cannot understand this. Who the hell writes a book about losing? Like, seriously, who writes a book about losing? I mean, and then goes on tour and says, yeah, I wasn't going to fall for that shit. I wasn't going to fall for it. I wasn't going to fall for any of that stuff. I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to fall for what he was saying. Well, you fell for it because you lost every damn swing state. You lost the Electoral College and you lost the popular.
My family and I were stopped at a stoplight on a highway. And all of a sudden I see a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. I felt I can handle all the calls. I know the story. I know how to talk to the insurance agents. It added up to be too much. And I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. You shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you.
Their vote. All right. You obviously fell for something, you tard. Obviously fell for something. All right, I know I missed. TPH14 subscription. Thank you. Thank you. Shorty, 10 of them. Golly, man. Y'all are just killing it today. Thank you. And I agree, unfiltered lady. Retarded. She's retarded. 100% retarded. As well as this guy. All right, I got time. As well as this guy, Illinois State Rep. I don't even know. Emmanuel Welch. I've never even heard of this dude. Apparently. Saying the word illegal immigrant is now racist. It's now racist. You can't say it. You can't say it. You can't. You better not say it. I better not hear none of y'all say illegal immigrant, or I'm charging you with a hate crime. Hate crime. But I mean, you can't make this up.
Telling you, I don't believe anyone is an illegal alien.
Okay, whatever, bro.
That's a terrible term to use about anyone.
It's a legal term.
It's not a legal term. They used to call black people slaves legally. And it was wrong. Let's stop dehumanizing people. Let's start treating people right.
Oh, shut up. They're illegals. That's what they are, you peckerwood. They're illegals, okay? And you can't sit here, look at me or anybody else in this country for that matter, and say, well, that's the same thing as calling black people slaves back in the day. What? So I got something for you there, Mr. Illinois. I got something for you. Hold on. Let me go full screen here. And here you go, right here. Illegal, 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 illegal. And just to piss you off even more, slave, 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 and slave. It's just words. Like, when did sticks and stones not apply anymore? All right, y'all have called me every word underneath the sun. I don't care. I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. And I agree, Jersey, talking about Kamala. Her voice makes me want to play in traffic. You ain't lying, dude. You ain't lying. This woman is special. But, and here's another one to all you white people out there. You're a villain. According to this lady on TikTok, you're a villain. This is amazing right here. This is amazing.
Okay, I think I have a question where I can make this group of people understand how deep this shit is. White America, do you realize that you're the villain in everyone's story?
I don't have my Mississippi disclaimer. Damn it. Okay, I will concede that. I will concede that, but only on the premise that you have to admit, black lady, that you are the victim in your story and everybody else's. And that I didn't realize, you know, you're taking my villain taxes to pay for your EBT. All right, you're taking my villain taxes to live in your government-funded Section 8 housing. I don't really sound like a villain to me. I mean, I really don't. Don't sound like a villain to me at all. So, I mean, great. I would much rather be a villain than a self-proclaimed victim. And you're absolutely right. I've said it a million times. I'm only one lab accident away from a supervillain. One. Just one. So, yeah, I don't mind being a villain. Better than being a victim. I'll take that all day. All day. Jersey, I would give a year of my salary to get in front of every member of Congress and every senator just to debate every single last one of them to make all of them look dumb on national television. Bro. And then Jersey with this EBT member of the day. I love it. And can I just, oh man, this, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to do it. I have a question. And I'm not trying to be funny. This is going to be a little bit of a controversial question. I don't see how white America is not getting more racist at this point. And I don't mean just against black people. I mean against everybody. Like, you can only be called a villain so many times, and you can only be called the problem with America so many times before you really start leaning into it. And I'm just asking y'all a question. Does all of this garbage that goes on with the Democratic Party and all these freaking liberals on white Christians and white Christian conservatives and the white man is the problem, and that, you know, just because you failed your social studies test, it's not your fault. Your teacher's white. It's her fault, or it's your edge or your principal's fault, or the school board or something like that. I'm telling you that they're getting dangerously close to getting what they want. Dangerously close. Because eventually people are going to be tired of it. All right. And then they're going to start firing back and fighting back. And I don't really think you want that to happen. That'd be a bad day, like a really bad day. Kim Kate, maybe foreign money to show these idiots talking so the U.S. looks like fools to the world. Destroy from the inside out. Yeah, that's exactly what they're trying to do. Free press. They would make victim mentality and actual disability if it meant getting a government check. Hallelujah, sister girl. I can't disagree with that statement at all. All right, guys. So here is the time. Oh, one more from Jersey. I've been saying that for over 2 years now. I tell all my white friends they aren't racist enough. Man, you can't say that. They aren't racist enough because black people, you can't say that. I can't say that, Jersey. I can't say that. I mean, you can. I can't. This accent, you know I can't. All right, guys, are y'all ready to jump in the hot seat? Let's do it. Let's jump in this bad boy. Let's have some fun. I'm really starting to like that. So for those of you who do not know, Veterans Day, the 11th hour on the 11th month and the 11th day after World War One, the ending of World War One is when Veterans Day actually started. It was renamed. It was Armistice Day. Armistice Day became Veterans Day in the 30s, I think. But in for that, I promise you, I'm going to bring two guys in here with me. And that is a Mr. Johnny Marine. And my brother from another mother, Nuke. So let me get these guys in here. What's up, guys? How are you? Oh, you asshole. See, I knew you were going to do that. I told Nuke when he showed us the hat, I get a little bit of anxiety when I see those drill sergeant hats now. And of course, he's going to show up wearing it. So here's what we're going to do, guys. All right, we're going to go down the line. Johnny, we'll start with you. You know, what branch you joined, how long you served, and why?
Well, I joined the Marines right out of high school. I served 5 years. And yes, I am the host of Rooster Talks for those of you guys who recognize me in the chat. I'm watching it on my laptop here. Come check me out. I will post the link in the chat when I'm done talking. Honestly, before 9/11, I wanted to join the Marines because I wanted the sword. the NCO sword. That's, mm-hmm. And we can talk about that. We can explain the sword. But after I got out of the Marines, I got tired of not having people around me who had the same mindset as me. So I went and joined the Navy, and I'll tell that story a little bit later too, because mm-hmm. Todd as a recruiter will get an absolute kick out of that one. But I did 4 years in the Navy Reserve, and the only thing exciting you could say that I did was I was deployed to New York during the beginning of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, I was at the big convention center in New York. They had 15,000 beds set up.
Dang, wow.
They used less than 2,000 the whole time. So any numbers you hear out of New York, mm-hmm. I was in the center. I was at the epicenter of New York, and I talked to a number of officers on a daily basis, and they were all out at various local hospitals, and they were like, "It's all social work. All we're mm-hmm. trying to do is find places for homeless people to live." It wasn't even medical work. So don't, if you hear numbers like that, don't believe them.
I got you. All right. So Nuke is different than the rest of us because, all right, do you have your little recording that you have to play? Uh-oh. Hold up. I got you muted, Nuke. I'm sorry. Hang on. Here we go. All right. Go ahead, buddy.
Disclaimer, any and all views expressed in this podcast belong solely to the guest, which would be me. The views do not represent the United States government, Department of War, United States Navy, Marine Corps, or any other Department of War entities or affiliates.
So FYI, Nuke is different than the rest of us because Nuke is like 5 months.
Yep, 5 months.
5 months away from retiring from the United States Marine Corps. So I can't wait for it.
I got into the car with a drunk driver. I don't really remember much, but I do remember waking up with the car on its side and just hurting. I ended up talking to my mom and she told me to call the advocates. Even though it was complicated and I felt guilty, there was zero judgment from them. I felt like they were always on my side and they were always doing what was best for me.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. If guilt is keeping you from getting help, just call us. We'll represent you and remind you that you deserve justice.
I've already told him, I've already promised him, when he retires, I'm coming up there for the retirement ceremony. We're going to hang out. I'm going to spend some time with him and his family, me and Kendra both. I love retirement ceremonies. They're amazing. So, I mean, Nuke, it's been 19 and a half years, bro. Like, 19 years ago, why did little Nuke decide to join the Marine? Why'd you pick the Marine Corps for one, you psychopath?
Actually, it was 21 years ago on Friday.
Oh, God, that long. Jesus.
honestly, I really had no idea what I was doing with my life. I was doing computers. I was working at a grocery store. I had a kid. Wasn't married. I said, I need something to do. Opened the phone book. No kidding. It was a Marine Corps recruiter right there. So
so you threw a dart at the map and just went.
Yep.
Damn, that's all right right there. God almighty.
I was 27.
Now, what do you joined the Marine Corps when you were 27?
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude.
Oh, God, you were the old man in your
boot
camp. I've always been the old man. I've always been the Archibald Henderson.
Golly, bro. Wow.
But I originally enlisted infantry and went in delayed entry because I had to be in by 28. And then long story short, I had to leave early. As you recruiters know, sometimes you just got to do. So I had to give up my contract to be an infantryman. So they said, what else you want to do? And I said, well, put me with the infantry. And they said, how about radio operator? I said, yeah, let's do it. I just don't want to touch computers. Get to my first unit. What am I doing? Computer to the radio, sending out a message.
E-pars.
Well, that's funny because that's what Graham enlisted as. He was he was comms when he enlisted in the Army. His first job. My story is like so much simpler than that. Like I joined the Army. I joined the National Guard. And when people are like, oh my God, Todd was in the National Guard. Guys, I only did 2 years of drilling. That was it. I drilled when I was a junior in high school and when I was a senior in high school. But literally, as soon as I got back from my medical training, I mean, it was full bore 9/11, and I never did another drill again. I was active duty from that time on until I retired. But I joined because I was the oldest of four kids. My family was broke. I wasn't going to be able to go to college any other way. And I became a medic, sadly, because the recruiter told me there was 9 girls to every guy in medical training. That is, I can't lie to y'all. I told, and Kendra knows this, and you know, she's like, of course she did. But literally, that was why. I mean, he boys had all these, boys. Bro, he had all these jobs lined up. He was like, man, you want to be artillery? I was like, what's that? And I said, he said, you blowing up stuff. I said, no, I'm going to do that shit. I like my fingers. Well, what about this? What about that? What about supply? I was like, no. He's like, what about being a medic? I was like, I don't really know nothing about being a medic. He's like, dude, there's 9 girls to every guy in medical training, and it's 18 weeks long. I went, sold. Put me on that one. I'll do that. But so, I mean, we've all, you know, we've all had some time in service. And I know, like, there's so many of those, like, heartfelt, like, really good moments that just stay with us forever. But I feel like every veteran has that one. Like that one moment, that one experience, that one time period, that one season that just sticks out. So do you guys have like that one moment that like you'll never forget? And you know, whether it's a proud moment, a bad moment, or whatever, do you guys have that moment? Because I know I do. Like Johnny, do you have that moment?
Well, honestly, okay, it's a series of moments, and it's actually how I got my nickname Rooster.
Mm-hmm.
So, my middle initial is R. And mm-hmm. The first 6 letters of my last name are O-O-S-T-E-R. Okay. Rooster. You put them poof together.
Poof.
So my second unit in the Marines, my master sergeant figured this out. And now both of you know, and for the audience, if you get called into Master Sergeant's office, it means one of 2 things. You either screwed up big time or you did something really good.
Yeah, right.
Well, he would call me in like every day. I'm like, what did I do now? I'm corporal at the time. I'm like, what the hell? What did I do now?
Yeah.
I'd walk into his office. I'd knock and he'd tell me to come in. He'd be playing Here Comes the Rooster by Alice in Chains and rolling on the floor laughing. I'm like, you. So I hated it at first. And then I just
dove into it.
I accepted it and it stuck.
Yeah, I got you. So you got a nickname from the Marine Corps. I got it.
Yeah.
Nuke, you're shaking your head. You're like, yeah, I got that moment. What's yours, bro?
Well, That's how I got my actual name, Knucklehead, was because I had the dumbest but the smartest comm guy for a comm chief. I mean, this guy was in the 99 Hilo crash that crashed in San Diego with the mm-hmm. SEALs and the Marine guys. He was one of the very few survivors, but he couldn't type. He was dyslexic as hell. And so he sends me this email and he's like, hey, Knucklehead, no K, just N-U-K-L-E-H-E-A-D. Mm-hmm. I need you to send this out in whatever speak he had. And I'm like, get out of here, whatever. And ever since then, hey, Knucklehead. So then it got on my battle patch and that's
how. Oh, yeah. I got you. Well, I mean, damn, man. Like, my story is like, I mean, I had those stories. I didn't get a nick. They tried to give me a nickname in basic training. It's like I told you guys, like, y'all think my accent's bad now. Like, y'all should have heard me when I was 17. Like, I did. I sounded like Boomhauer from King of the Hill. Like, legit. I'm not kidding. Like, I'm not exaggerating at all. And so there was me and another dude from Mississippi in basic training. And you'll get this when I tell you where he was from. He was from Becker Bottoms. So you can imagine what this dude sounded like. He didn't even move his lips when he talked. I mean, it was so me and him would get together and we'd start having conversations. And before we knew it, there were just people gathered around us, just listening to us. And they were like, we'd get done. And they're like, what in the hell were y'all talking about? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, we didn't understand a word. And so they called me the Mississippi Mud Duck. That was my nickname. Like, whole time, 9.5 weeks of training, Mississippi drill sergeants would literally carry me to other drill sergeants in other companies just to show them how I talked. Like that. That was it. It's like, hey, drill sergeant, come here. You got to listen to the mud duck here. We got this private mud duck here. You got to listen to this dude. Go ahead, say something, private. And I mean, I just start talking, and they were like, oh my God, where the hell are you from, son? And but yeah, that was up. Me and a guy named Greg Tindall. I was the Mississippi Mud Duck. But my moment I never will forget this. It was my first deployment in 2003. I'm this 19-year-old kid that literally knew nothing, knew had no idea what he was fixing to walk into. And back in those days, like now, like if you go to Iraq or Afghanistan, like you land in like Kuwait, and then you fly to wherever you're going. You know, you yep. fly to Baghdad or you fly to, you know, Qatar. Not back in 03. No. You landed in Kuwait. You drove to the border and then you convoyed from southern Iraq all the way to wherever you were going. And so, like, we convoyed all the way to central Iraq and Baquba, Camp Warhorse is where I was in 03. And, you know, you spend however long there. And the military, the Department of Defense at the time, in their infinite wisdom, decided, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to create this thing called mid-tour leave, where we're going to let you go to war for 4 to 6 months, and then we're going to send your crazy ass home for 2 weeks so you can decompress, and then we're going to send you back. So that was so stupid. But I mean, who's not going to take it? You know, who's not going to not go home for 2 weeks, you know? So I go home, and it was like 11 of us, and we flew out of Kuwait. We landed in Atlanta, and bro, it was November the 11th, November the 11th of 2004. And that, like, we were in our desert uniforms, and there was 11 of us. We get off the plane, we're walking through. So you had the Veterans Day, you had Thanksgiving Day traffic in Atlanta. That place was freaking packed. And you're asking 11 dudes that just got out of a war zone to walk through all of this mess. Do y'all remember that? I think it was a Budweiser commercial. It might have been a Bud Light commercial, where these veterans were walking through an airport and everybody just stopped and started clapping and, you know, parted. Dude, it was like we were the Hebrews in Exodus. Everybody just parted to the, and I'm talking thousands of people just parted to the side, cheering. I had folks hugging me, shaking my hands, all this stuff. That is a moment that I will never forget until the day that I die. But what sucked about the whole thing is when I landed at home, Fox News was there, the local paper, because they knew I was the only one that was landing at this airport at this particular day. You know, after 11 of us landed, we all went to different locations and different places. But I went home and Fox News was there, the local news was there, the newspapers. I was on the front page of the newspaper hugging my dad and all this stuff, doing interviews. The whole 2 weeks, I didn't get one bit of peace. Calls, phone calls, wanting to do interviews. I couldn't go nowhere. Hey, you're that guy on the paper that was on the front page of the paper, yada, yada, yada. It was great, and I enjoyed, I loved it. But that's a moment that I will never forget until the day that I die. And that's, do you think that we see a difference now between the American people and how they treat veterans, how the reaction to veterans versus those days versus now in 2025? Nuke, do you see a change? Because, I mean, you've been in for some time, so I know you've seen a lot of evolutions in the military up to this point.
It depends. Depends on where you live. You live in the liberal areas, they just don't really care.
Yeah.
You live in the Southern Belt, you live in the...
I got into the car with a drunk driver. I don't really remember much, but I do remember waking up with the car on its side and just hurting. I ended up talking to my mom and she told me to call the advocates. Even though it was complicated and I felt guilty, there was zero judgment from them. I felt like they were always on my side and they were always doing what was best for me.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. If guilt is keeping you from getting help, just call us. We'll represent you and remind you that you deserve justice.
Predominantly military towns, you're going to see a lot more patriotism and you're going to see a lot more people saying, hey, thanks, because it's veterans thanking veterans.
Right, so. Right, right. Now, as far as, you know, Johnny, I didn't know, like, what year you enlisted and what year did you enlist in the Marine Corps?
2009.
All right, you were in 09, Nuke was in 04, I was in 99 or 2000. Do you guys, I know you did, Nuke. I know you have seen it. But the training, like the difference in when you went through training versus, I mean, you were a drill sergeant. I mean, you were a drill sergeant, Nuke, so you should know more than any of us. Now, I was an instructor, but what's the biggest change that you've seen in the military as far as training is concerned in the last 21 years?
Women. Straight up women. Because women are now being, they're actually combining now. The Marine Corps is the last ones to do it, combined training. And so now what you'll have is just like at Fort Jackson where they have the co-ed training there. Mm-hmm. It's like you'll have two decks of males, a deck of females, another two decks of males. And then yeah. you have female drill instructors now doing that. And they've done that because now females are in combat roles where they're right. actually, you know, not actually meeting a lot of the standards. However, mm-hmm. they're still putting them through. In fact, a friend of mine was an instructor out at a recon training for the Marines. And the very first female actually beat everything, including beating the guys times for ruck running and other things. I mean, she was doing 25 pull-ups. She did, I think it was a 4 mile ruck run. I think she did it in something like an hour.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah. 35 pounds plus water plus, you know, running. Damn. Yeah. It was crazy. But that's been the biggest change. The other problem that I'm also seeing is we're not getting as much trigger time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because like I was never on board, you know, even during my time, I was never on board with the you qualify once a year. You know, that man's Army. You go to the range for a few days once a year. Now, you did sticks lanes and lanes training and things like that. That wasn't live ammo and stuff like that. But I'm like, how can you expect guys to be proficient in weaponry if they're only doing it, you know, a week out of the year? I mean, it's an impossible task because, I mean, for those of you in the chat, and Johnny and Nuke, I know you know this, shooting is a perishable skill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is a perishable skill. And if it's not something that you're accustomed to doing all the time, like I'm telling you right now, I could go grab a M4. I probably could hit water if I fell out of a boat right now because it's been that long, you know, since I've shot.
See, the units like SEAL Team 6, DevGru, Delta, SF, ODAs, and some MARSOC units, they do SIF, you know, in like the used to be the SIF units in the berets, but they actually do CQB like every single week because they are so fluid in the way they do it. That's close quarters battle for people who don't know. Room mm-hmm. clearing, taking down a house, taking down a building. They do that on a regular basis, so they have to keep their skills up or they do lose them, just like you said.
Yeah, right. Johnny, you got anything to add to that?
Other than, yeah, so I didn't have to go through Navy boot camp when I went from being a civilian to being in the Navy.
Yeah, right.
But I did have to go to Corps school. And yeah, the difference between, well, it's the Marines and the Navy, so there's a huge difference already. But the discipline level wasn't there.
Oh.
And actually that's how I met one of my best friends who's also a corpsman. He was an HM1, a petty officer first class in the Navy. We use our job as our first two letter designators for our rank. Mm-hmm. So I was an HM3. I was a petty officer third class, but I was a corpsman, which is shortened to HM. And there's a whole history behind that. I don't need to get into that. But he knew right away when I walked in, I was a Marine. And he saw the look on my face. And he's like, hey, come here.
Yeah.
just sit down, turn off the devil dog. This is the Navy Reserve. I'm like, and I always got one of the, I'm proud of this. When I was in San Antonio, which is where we had training, I loved San Antonio. Man. I would go
Fort
back
Sam,
there.
Fort Sam, bro. Fort Sam. I loved it.
Fort Sam was
love
fun.
Fort Sam.
But the barracks were built with like almost like ram's horns.
Yeah.
There's a basketball court in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the walkway into the main lobby, and then it kind of branches out into a hexagon around the basketball court.
Right.
I got people walking up to me from other units, other training units there, telling me they could hear me outside of the basketball courts because that's how loud I was.
Yeah. That's
I was I was waiting to tell that story because you were talking about it before the show.
Yeah, yeah. So I asked these guys before the show because, you know, and me and Graham talk about it in the morning sometimes. But once you meet a certain rank, like instructing and being an instructor, you have to go to school for that. Like you have to be trained for that. And like they said, did y'all have to go through like a public speaking type course at all? Where they actually taught you inflection and how to inflect your voice and project your voice and things like that. You didn't have to do that for drill sergeant school, Newt?
No, in fact, it was 3 months of basically going over all the training that we had to teach. And then I was actually outside screaming from me to about, I don't know, 30 meters away when I was having to explain drill and actually go verbatim down this checklist.
Right, right. And so I asked these guys, we were kind of talking like way before the show, that, you know, does your wife, your girlfriend, your significant other always ask you, why are you so loud? Because, like, I get it every day from Kendra. She, like, we'll be in a restaurant and I'm talking and she'll go, you are screaming. Like, do you know you're screaming? Like, can you whisper? It's not something that I try to do. It's just once you've done it for so long, it's like you can't turn it off. Like, I don't even if I could, maybe there's a volume button in here somewhere. I don't know, but I haven't found it yet. Do y'all have that problem too?
Yeah.
I mean, I have to consciously work on being able to whisper. My whispers can be heard across the room.
Yeah, that's how I am. Yeah, that's how I am. And wow, look at this. Jersey, my man, $100 donation, making this donation in honor of my great-grandfather, Master Sergeant Robert H. Moore, Sr., proudly served in the Marines for 30 years.
Wow.
Feel free to bless any other veteran today. Happy Veterans Day. Oorah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, did you see President Trump say oorah on Pat McAfee this morning?
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, was that awesome? Like, was that awesome? Like, how many times did y'all see Joe Biden say oorah? Like,
not once.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dude,
yeah,
he is such a commander in chief. Like, I love this dude. So,
I wanted to comment on Kamala's video that you played.
Yeah,
she didn't write that book.
No, hell no.
She had nothing to do with writing that book and I know this because there have been videos of her defending Biden. And then there have been videos of her, like, trying to defend the book, which is all about bashing Biden.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She's a horrible human being. All right, so, I don't know if y'all get this question a lot. I get it every day, literally every day. So, what would you guys say, because y'all know how I feel about it, all of you in the chat, but just take it from two other veterans. What would y'all say to the question that I get asked all the time? How do you feel about a young person wanting to join the military today? Like, what would your advice be to them? You know, the do's and the don'ts of branch choosing and job choosing and things of that nature. Like, what would you say to a 16, 17-year-old right now that was contemplating a career in the military?
Well, go ahead,
Newt. I was going to say, first things first, figure out what you want to do. Do you want to deploy or do you want to sit around in a base in a far off area? Because if you join the Marine Corps or the Navy, you're going to deploy. That's what we do. Number three, you need to know what job you want to do. And is it transferable to the civilian world? And number four, since they no longer offer a pension retirement plan, you need to have a plan to transfer that once you get done with however many years. There's no buy-in to stay 20 plus anymore. None whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. Were you grandfathered in on that?
Oh, yeah. High three.
Okay. All right. Good. Good deal. Yeah. That whole, like, they kind of do it like a
401k now.
Yeah, like a thrift savings thing now. They kind of do it like a government employee does now. And they were just introducing that as I was on my way out retiring. And I was like, whew, thank God. I don't want no part of that.
Retirement system, and it's a glorified 401k, but you can also contribute to TSP, which is Thrift Savings Plan for everybody.
Right, right, right. All right. Johnny, what would you say to the kids?
I mean, I don't have anything to add to that. Figure out what you want. I wanted to be a sniper when I first started talking to the recruiter. He's like, no way. I can look at you and say no.
So mean. So
mean. Yeah, it was true. And then I tried out for the band, and I didn't make it.
I heard that was like the greatest job in the military.
Yeah,
like
oh,
being in like the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps band was like the greatest job ever.
So one of my friend's little brothers was actually in the Marine Corps band, and every time I was standing in formation, every time we had a change of command ceremony.
So I was on my motorcycle heading home, is going through this intersection, and this car just turns left in front of me. They said they didn't see me, obviously, and I hit him broadside, flew over the car, and landed, broke my arm, busted my shoulder. It wasn't good. Luckily, I had my helmet on, but I was mad. So a buddy told me to call the advocates, but you know, I've always been skeptical of lawyers, right? But I called them. They were cool. They listened to me, and they were on my side for sure. They took care of everything. They're a good group of people. They helped me get what I deserved. They worked with the insurance companies. They got everything paid for. They fight for you, and they're going to go for the win.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. I totally get that bikers are independent, but when someone else causes a crash, you need a team as tough as you. Give us a call.
Or anything where the band was out, I was tapping my foot, you know, not supposed to be, but like conducting along. I love military marches, but then he's like, all right, well, what else do you like to do? I'm like, well, I play computer games. He's like, I got you. So he set me up as a data network specialist, which is no longer an MOS. But then when I joined the Navy, so I'll tell this story now. I was getting tired of being a civilian. I was bored. I wanted to be around people like me again.
Mm-hmm.
So I was scrolling through Facebook one night, and I saw the Army advertising enlistment bonuses. Didn't say anything about no bonuses for prior service.
Right.
So I went and talked to the Army recruiter. I'm like, hey, can you tell me about this bonus? And he's like, well, what would you do with the bonus? I'm like, I don't know why that matters, but I told him I was going to invest in Bitcoin or something.
Man, I wouldn't ask nobody. I don't give a crap what you do with your money.
He told me I had to be prepared to be a cook if I wanted to put on an Army uniform.
A 92 Golf? Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I have nothing against cooks. I love cooks. They kept me fed when we were out in the field. But my ASVAB score qualified me for every branch's special forces.
And the Army loves to do that. Like, I was an Army recruiter, and I never understood that. Like, I never understood that. Like, because being, let me just explain it to you people. Being a cook in the Army, you never do your job. Like, you never, and they call it a culinary specialist. There ain't nothing culinary about it. Like, there's nothing culinary about it. Because when you go overseas, you go to a dining facility that's run by civilians. All right. When you go to a dining facility on post, it's ran by civilians. You know, the only time a cook, an actual MOS cook, does their job is when you're in the field and they're handing out MREs or they're scooping the hot slop out of the little trays. Like, nope. It's the only time you do your job. There's nothing culinary about it. Like,
I think the military needs to take it over, because in 29 Palms out in California, I kept getting medium rare chicken.
Golly.
So I went, I said, let me think about it over the weekend, because it was a Friday when I talked to him. Mm-hmm. I immediately walked out of the office and got on the phone with the Navy recruiter. And he's the Navy. I'm telling the Navy guy, you know, this is what just happened in the Army recruiter's office. He's laughing. He's like, well, you don't have to lose weight to join the Navy. You can lose it while you're in training. You can keep your rank, and I got a whole list of jobs for you that you can do that you don't have, that you won't be stuck being a cook.
Yeah,
so
right.
He's listing off all these jobs, and I'm a Marine. I don't know the Navy's job, like, nomenclature.
Yeah, because you're used to like 0311 and stuff right. like we, that. You know, Marine Corps MOS, you know, occupational spell. You hear 92 golf or, you know, 68 whiskey or something. It just.
Well, so the Marines use the four numbers.
Right.
06, 03. And then the last two numbers are designated like specifically yeah. in that MOS. The Navy uses letters. So like MA is Master at Arms. BM is Bosun's Mate. And he's listing off all these names. I'm like, I have no idea what any of these are. And then he said HM. I'm like, hey, I know what that one is because Marines love their corpsmen.
Mm-hmm.
If any of you have ever seen The Fat Electrician, he's got a video about don't F with Doc.
That's a fact. Bro, let me tell you, I have a really quick story. People, because when I deployed the first time, like I was a medic and I did some time with the Army, like patrols with the Army infantry, military, police, and I spent a week with the Marine Corps infantry. And, you know, all of my buddies that, you know, I'd get done patrolling with those guys. I'd come back to my, you know, my little tent city in Bacalbut, Kent Warhorse. My, what's the difference? It's a big difference. It's a massive difference. Like when you're on patrol with like military, police or infantry in the Army, like you're walking down this and it's night. You know, we patrol at night. You're walking down these like little narrow corridors and stuff like this at night. And you hear like gunfire like over here. The Army goes the other way. Makes a plan and then goes and kills it. Mm-hmm. Marines don't do that. All right. They don't do that. They're going this way. They hear gunfire. They're turning mm-hmm. immediately. No plan, no nothing. Just go kill it. Like that's it. I'm like, hey, whoa, what the hell are we doing? We're going to kill it. I'm like, we're not going to plan. We're not going to have a conversation. We're not going to debate this. They're like, no, medic. Just stick in the back and try not to get shot. I'm like, great. This is awesome. This is awesome. And the Aussies, the Australians, they're worse. They're they're worse than any branch we have. I was in one of their little Isuzu Troopers or whatever it was, going down the road, Highway 1 in Baghdad, and like this little car was in front of them, and it was a civilian. They wouldn't move. Like they were beating the horn, jerking. I mean, dude wouldn't get out of the way. The lead car passed the dude, slammed on the brakes. The car stopped. They got out. They pulled the dude out of his own car, moved the car on the side of the road, and got back in and took off. I'm like, you guys are different. Y'all are built different. Y'all are way, way weird. Way weird. So, yeah, the Marines, the Aussies, the only people that had sense were the Army. Like, the only ones that had, I'm so glad I didn't join the Marine Corps. I don't have that mentality, man. I got to think before I do something first.
And corpsmen like that go with the Marines.
Do what, Nuke?
It's like the spiders with people. Burn it, kill it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the mentality. That is the mentality. All right, so the most important question that I'm going to ask you two guys, because, I mean, you guys have heard it from me several times. People in the chat, you've heard it from me several times. All right, so give me a letter grade, you know, letter grade, like we're back in, you know, Miss Wilkerson's English class. How would you grade the job that Pete Hegseth is doing right now as the Secretary of War? And if it's, you know, if it's not a good grade, that's fine. Tell me why. All right. Johnny, what do you think?
I wish I could go back. I wish I was in shape enough to put either my Marine or my Navy uniform back on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would say definitely A+.
Okay.
He is.
I agree with that.
He's bringing back what. So I'm a huge movie buff. I speak in movie quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen everything from black and white movies to some modern movies. I'm not a huge. I go back and rewatch old shit all the time.
Yeah, that's me too. It drives Kendrick nuts.
The military that Hollywood made famous in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, Full Metal Jacket, Saving Private Ryan. I know that was, what, 90s? We Were Soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one with Cuba Gooding Jr. with the, he's the main driver.
Men of Honor.
Those movies.
I want my 12.
Are what I viewed the real military as. Mm-hmm. I know it's not exactly. I know now for a fact that that's not the real military.
Right.
But that kind of heroism and Hacksaw Ridge is another one. That military mindset they brought to the big screen is what Pete Hegseth is bringing back.
I agree. Nuke, what do you think, brother? Because you're currently in, so be careful what you say.
If you want me to be honest, I think he's a A-minus, B-plus.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is because all the same people that are going to get lucrative jobs and that are making decisions for contracts and stuff in the military mm-hmm. are currently still active. Every Marine fawns over General Mattis, but he was a terrible leader.
He was horrible. He's that piece of shit is the reason why I lost my career. Like he is the reason I lost my career.
I mean, there is something to be said for a general who takes dead terrorists and put them on the Humvees and drives through neighborhoods and said, you want to end up like this? Keep playing like Bubba here. I don't think he got rid of the enough generals. I think he should have cleaned the slate at the O3 level and above.
Yeah.
And the E9s and above, because they're all too damn loyal. They don't understand how you don't kiss a commander's ass. You mm-hmm. don't cozy up and be buddies with the generals just because they're generals. You advise them with what the information they need to hear, not what they want to hear.
Right, right. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. My biggest thing is he's brought discipline back. You know, he's brought – and we were talking about this, you know, prior to the show is like, dude, right around like my 15th or 16th year, I enlisted these four or five guys from the same school, same high school. They go to basic training. Week one, I get a phone call, and it's one of them. And I'm like, oh, God, they've done something. They done got in trouble. They done got – all right, well, why the hell are you calling me, Private? Oh, I'm just saying, hey, Sergeant Spears, we're at a movie theater. We're watching a movie right now. I'm like, what? I said, how? And they're like, well, I mean, I said, they didn't take your phone? No, Sergeant, they didn't take my phone. I'm like, and you're at a movie theater with a cell phone the first week of training. Like, I told these guys, like, I got knocked out in basic training. Like, a drill sergeant smooth knocked me out. And I deserved every second of it. All right, because we were doing that one week of, you know, BRM, basic rifle marksmanship. And I cannot shoot. I cannot shoot with one eye closed. I can't. I've never been able to do it. Even with a scope, both of my eyes have to be open. They have to be. And this was back, like, you want to talk about a redneck that came out the womb with his granddaddy's shotgun? That was me. All right. And so I'm, you know, we go through and then you have to go to actual, you know, your zero range. You go from the zero range to the actual qualifying range. We're actually qualifying for the final time. And I'm in a foxhole, which I know, you know, you younger soldiers don't know what a foxhole is now because y'all have this whole new way y'all have to shoot now. But I'm in a foxhole and I'm leaned up and both eyes are open and I've already, you get three rounds per round and three rounds, so nine shots, and I've already fired three. And the drill sergeant comes up, he kicks me in the back after my third round. Close that damn eye, Private Spears! And I looked up at him, and I said, drill sergeant, all due respect, I know this is your job. I know you're the best at it. I cannot shoot with one eye closed. I can't. I said, but if you trust me and you let me shoot how I shoot, uh-oh, we lost Nuke. We'll wait for him to come back. If you trust me, there he goes. If you trust me and just let me do what I do, I promise you won't be disappointed. He says, all right, Private, I'll make you a deal. I'll make you a deal. You got six more shots to zero this weapon, and if it's not zeroed, I'm going to kick your ass. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay. So I fired my next three, went down, made my adjustments and stuff like that on my rifle, made all my adjustments, made my stuff, fired the next three rounds. Well, so, the target's on a sheet of paper, but if you have the sheet like this, it's a target. Nuke, you know what I'm talking about. It's like that tall. It's a little silhouette in the center. It's about that tall. And you're like, you know, 30 to 40 yards from it. All right. So when I walk down there, it's stapled up to this post, and I walk up to it. Drill sergeant's right behind me. Like, I mean, he's literally right behind me. I could feel him breathing. And I look, and I had three shots, dead center mass. I mean, you could put a quarter on them. And like the ignorant, arrogant, retarded person that all of you have come to know, I snatched the paper off the thing. I held it up to him and went, ha! And bro, he grabbed me. He hip tossed me. He put his boot in my throat. And just until I was out, I woke up like this. And I sat up and I looked at him. He goes, ha, what? And I went, nothing, drill sergeant. And he looked at me. He said, good shooting. Now, if you don't qualify over there, at least expert, you're going to get it again. Except this time, I'm going to take you back to the woodshed. Y'all hear me say the woodshed all the time.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to take you back to the woodshed where nobody can hear you scream, private. And bro, I was like, my eyes were huge. I was like, oh my God. But that was training back in the day. Like, bro, they could still put their hands on you. They could say whatever they wanted to you. Like, I mean, they didn't care. But that was it. That was training. That's how it should be. And that's what I think, like Pete Hegseth is really not to that extreme, but the shark attacks, the screaming at privates, the knife hand, all of that stuff. They're bringing all of that back. And these kids need it because, like, our generation, like, we're all around the same age. Like, Nuke, you're what, like 43? 48. Johnny, how old are you?
35.
I'm 42. So we're all kind of in the same age, close. But we all already had that respect. Like, beat into us, you know? So we already had that. Can you imagine, like, these kids today? Like, without that military discipline? Holy crap, dude.
No. These kids today have absolutely no idea of respect, work ethic, or any drive to be better. It'd be anything other than a social media presence where they get likes. That is literally where they're at today.
That's it. And the funniest part of that story about me getting choked out by a drill sergeant's foot is his name was Drill Sergeant Taylor. And y'all, he was like that tall. like I'm short. I'm 5'8". This dude was like 5'5". And he was that asshole drill sergeant. And this is why I don't like drill sergeant hats, Nuke. Because you'd be standing in formation at attention, and he would literally walk up to you, and the brim of his drill sergeant hat would hit you right here, right underneath your nose. And then he would come up, he'd put it right here, and then he'd look up. Well, it was a lose-lose situation, because if you did this, you were getting tore out the frame. And if you didn't move, you pushed his hat down like this, and it was even worse. It was even worse.
I had a hat with me. He was like 5'6". And when he was chewing out the biggest recruit, he made two other recruits stack two lockers on there so he could tower over him and scream at him.
All right. So now it's your guys' turn. Okay. If you have a question, military, not military, whatever, throw it in the chat. We'll do a little Q&A with you guys really quick before we get out of here. I already see one right now. And this is from Alicia, but from Will. Will asks, what is your favorite war or military movie? All right, Johnny, you go first. Favorite military movie?
Oh, that is really hard.
Very hard.
I don't even know if I could pick a top five, but I'm going to go with the first one that popped into my head when I saw that question. Hacksaw Ridge.
Hacksaw, that's a good one. That's a very good one.
Because at the end of the movie, they actually have the guy that that movie was based on giving an interview.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple others, though. Of course, Full Metal Jacket, because I'm a Marine.
Right.
And I watched that before I got sent to boot camp. But there's another one called The Fighting Sullivans.
Mm-hmm.
Is this family? Okay, you've seen it. For those of you you'll recognize it when I give you the premise. It's four or five young men. It's kind of their story of growing up. Mm-hmm. They did everything together, inseparable. Every fight they got in as children, every adventure. They built a boat to go out on the pond. It sank. They all came back to shore looking like draggled rats. And when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, they're all mid 20s, except for the baby who I think is like 18, but he's the only one who's got a sweetheart who's getting ready to get married. And they're all, dad pulls them all aside and he's like, all right, which branch, Army or Navy?
Right.
And they all joined the Navy. And I like this one because there's real life footage at the end of that one too.
I got
you. But it shows a little bit of their career. And they actually had to get in touch with like the command master chief, the highest ranking person at their recruiting station, mm-hmm. to get them to all be allowed to join and go to the same boat.
I got
that. Even in World War II, they tried to separate families to make sure that at least someone survived. Well, they wrote a letter and they all got put on the same boat. And spoiler alert, for those of you who haven't seen it, it sank with them on it. Damn. Well, there's actually I don't know if it's still active, but they named a ship the USS Fighting Sullivans.
Oh, cool.
Because of them. And there's actual footage at the end of that movie of the ship being christened and setting sail for the first time.
I got you. I'm going to have to check that one out. I don't think I've seen that. I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
All right, Newt, go ahead. I know it's some Marine Corps shit. Go ahead.
Actually, I got two of them. Okay. So Generation Kill is by far my favorite miniseries, because if anybody knows Marines, that is like legitimate Marine Corps humor, military humor, and our dark sense of humor.
Yeah.
If you don't know what that is a series about First Recon during the invasion of Iraq. The second movie is an older Nicolas Cage movie called Wind Talkers.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
Most people don't know this, but the significance behind that is that not all Navajo were code talkers, but the code that was never broken even to this day was written by or based off of their language. And then if I had to pick another one, 13 Hours, because of how horrible we treated our CIA people and we had paramilitary options.
Well, how the hell am I the only one on here? I'm in the Army and I'm going Heartbreak Ridge. Like, how am I the only one here? Like, I'm sorry. I love Heartbreak Ridge. I could watch that movie every day. Heartbreak Ridge is my favorite military movie. I love it. My favorite military anything to watch is the Band of Brothers series. And it's special to me because you guys know I had Mr. Freeman that lived less than a mile from my house. That was, you know, one of the Easy Company members who unfortunately died a couple years ago. But I love Band of Brothers. Heartbreak Ridge, freaking amazing. Amazing.
I forgot one. Greyhound.
I haven't seen that one either. Man, you got all kinds of movies.
Put aside how you feel about Tom Hanks. I know whether you like him or not. Oh,
was that the movie about him where he was the commander of the protection fleet? Yeah.
Yes.
All right, I'll look at that.
That was a fantastic movie. I actually had to leave the room because of how well done that movie was. I got chills and I was watching it with my parents and I actually had to get up and like leave. I'm getting chills thinking about it right now.
Yeah.
How good
I had to check that movie out. All right. Go ahead.
And then I read the book. The book, of course, is even better than the movie.
I got you. All right. So from Jersey, what is y'all's favorite funny memory from your time in service?
Oh my God.
One stands out. One does stand out.
I can't really talk about mine because it could compromise people that I know, but let's just say we had a really good time in Osan, Korea.
Okay. Been there. Tung Dachan, Tokari, Camp Casey, done all that. All of that. Will not ever go back. Ever. Them folks in Korea are nuts, man. Y'all are crazy. Johnny, what's your funny moment?
So we're training. I was stationed at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, and every year we would go to Fort. I forget. Sorry.
AP Hill.
The one in North Carolina.
Bragg.
Thank you. Brain fart. Every year we'd go to Bragg. Well, my second unit, our master sergeant was just super casually racist and hilarious at the same time. Well, we had this guy in our unit who was so dark he would have blended in with my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all sitting around, day's done, we're waiting to rack out. And Master Sergeant looks over at the guy. He goes, "Hey, smile, I can't see you." And we all just fell over laughing. He didn't mean anything like... Yeah.
But yep. For those of you that are like, "Oh my God, that's a Monday in the military." That's why Nuke's covering his face right now, because that's a Monday. Like, that's how we talk to each other. Like, I know it sounds horrible, but it's true. That's how we talk to one another. I mean,
My former commander was from Kenya, and he looks at me and he comes up to me and he's like, "Hey, Master Sergeant." He's like, "I know in your country I'm very dark, but in Kenya I'm light." What?
Mine is, I was tasked with giving a death by PowerPoint class.
Oh,
like, yeah, suicide prevention. You know, that's like a mandatory 4-hour class. And I love how the DOD does suicide prevention. Like, it's literally by the time you're done doing it, you want to commit suicide, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm giving the class, and I look over, and there's this like young private that's like got his phone out and like he's texting. And I'm like, "All right, I got you. I'll get you after this." And so I finish everything up, and I think his last name was like Rodriguez or something like that. And I, "All right, guys, y'all are dismissed. We're going to do this for the remainder of the day. Yada, yada, yada. Rodriguez, I need you to stay back." And his eyes just got real big. And like my first sergeant was right behind me. And I said, "Rodriguez, do me a favor, Private." I said, "Why don't you go ahead and just start beating your face? Just go ahead and start beating your face." Y'all know what that means. Push-ups. That means beat your face, do push-ups. He got this confused look on his face. And I said, yelled, "Private, did I stutter? Beat your face." And he goes, "Wow." Wow. Wow. And dude, I couldn't stop him. Like, I was just sitting there like. And after about like 5 or 6 times, both of his cheeks were bloodshot red. And I said, "Private, just stop. Just get out of here." And I turned around. The first sergeant hasn't moved. And he looked at me, and I looked at him. I said, "What do you do with that? I mean, what am I supposed to do with that?" And he goes, "What you just did, because that's the greatest thing I've ever seen, Sergeant. Like, I've never in the 19 years I've been a senior non-commissioned officer, I've never seen a private smack the hell out of themselves like that, ever. Like, not ever." And he said, "Thank you for that." And tied for first, and I told the guys this story, I wasn't like the get in your face, knife hand, scream and cuss at you. Now, I was cerebral. I was coming at you like cerebral. And so I told these guys this. I told the engineers, we had this big parade field that we did training and PT and stuff on. And I said, "Guys, I need y'all to get a telephone pole, and I need you to bury it in the ground for me." And like, "Why do you need a telephone pole?" And I said, "I need a telephone pole, a log this big. I need it buried in the ground, and I need about 3 feet of that pole sticking out of the ground." And they're like, "For what?" I said, "Just do it." And they're like, "Okay." So they got it done. And so we come back to training, and that's what I called it, my stupid stick. And I would tell privates, "Why don't you go and get on my stupid stick?" And I literally, you would drive by and you'd see privates on a telephone pole doing the Karate Kid crane Mr. Miyagi on a telephone pole. And that's what I did. I made privates hug tires, hug trees, all kind of stuff, you know, just to have fun. All right, this is from Free. "I heard that they put bottles of U.S. soil and MRE packages for soldiers to have a piece of home with them overseas. Do you guys have that?" Free, that's not true.
that number.
I've never seen that. The oldest thing I've seen is MRE that my grandfather brought back from Vietnam that he had, that had a pack of Lucky Stripes in them. That was it. They used to have cigarettes in them, but other than that, that's it. From the good Trent, funniest thing I ever saw was a Navy boot camp. Our RDC found cookie crumbs in a recruit's locker. God. It wasn't funny at the time, but now that entire division is done making it rain. Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Let me see if we got any other. Let's see. Spell that, Todd. What you want me to spell? I don't know. I'm not.
I think they want you to spell cerebral.
Whatever. Good luck. I can say it, but I ain't spelling it. That's for sure. Let's see. Was Alyssa in the military too? No, not Miss Alyssa. No, she wasn't in the military. There was one for you, Nuke. I can't find it. Oh,
yeah, Ratchet.
Yeah. Oh, you think Pete has not replaced the 3 stars in the E9s because they don't have enough qualified to replace?
No, I don't. I think there's plenty of people to take the spot. The problem is they're trying to give these people every little opportunity to seize that little last bit of government cheese before they go and take a contracting gig. And so if they don't get their contracting gig, then they don't, you know, they can't actually, you know, be as valuable to that company.
Right. And from Trent, while we were making it rain, the lucky recruit had to eat a pail of cookies and a bucket of milk. Good Lord. Oof. That's good stuff right there. All right, TPH, COVID. Are you happy? I said, everybody likes me to say COVID. I don't know why y'all like me to say COVID.
So. I don't know why either.
All right. Well, guys, it's 4:30. We went way over. Nuke, Johnny, thank you guys so much for coming and hang out. Next time, which we're going to do this again in the near future, but next time we got to bring Shock in with us. We got to bring Shock in with us to get us the chair force. You know, what's your favorite moment? Sitting in a lawn chair with an air conditioner, eating a steak with a lobster tail. Yeah. That's the Air Force for you. So we'll have Shock next time. But Nuke, you first. Tell everybody bye. Thank you for hanging out with us, brother. Love you as always, man. Tell everybody bye.
Hey, I'm just happy to be here, man. Glad I could share a screen with you gentlemen. And hey, come see me once I get my podcast going when I retire.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. Thanks, man. All right, Johnny, your turn, man. Tell everybody bye.
Thank you for letting me hang out with you. Check me out on Rumble Rooster Talks. I'm the only one with that name.
That's true.
So just search it. And I'm going to say what I say at the end of my show. Sorry, 2 p.m. on Thursdays and Fridays, 1 p.m. on Saturdays. Not this week. My other job is interfering with my favorite job, hanging out with you guys. Next week, I will be back Thursday and Friday, and I will raid into Todd on Thursday. But I'm going to say what I say at the end of my show. Worrying means you suffer twice.
True statement. All right, guys, I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good one, and we got to do this again real soon.
Absolutely. Real soon.
All right, guys, later.
This was fun.
It was. Thanks, guys. Was that awesome? Like, that was friggin' awesome. Like, was it not? Just to be able, I don't really get this a lot. Like, I don't really get to hang out with other veterans. One of the questions in the chat was, like, do you still keep up with people that you served with? I do, but it gets really difficult, like, to keep up with them and stuff like that. But I try to. But it's always good to get a bunch of veterans together, man. We'll start trading stories and stuff like that. Thank you guys for coming and hanging out today. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate those two men, the sacrifice that they made. Shock, the rest of you guys in the chat, thank you guys so much for your service. I will be live, as always, alongside Graham on Dear America first thing in the morning. And tomorrow, heaven hopes, because Kendra went to the doctor today. She does have COVID. She's been very sick, and I think I'm catching it again. So hopefully, if all things work out and me and Kendra are not dying, then it'll be Wifey Wednesday tomorrow, and we'll be hanging out with you same time, same place. But other than that, I hope you have an amazing day. To all my veterans, go out, spend a lot of money on food, drink as much as you want, be safe, don't drive, have a great time, enjoy your Veterans Day. I love you. I miss you. You know that I mean it. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Mm-hmm.